Tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right. So the grace of redemption signifies the understanding that salvation and deliverance from sin are not earned through efforts, but are gifts bestowed by divine grace. The concept is foundational in many religious traditions, especially in creation, where it underscores that the central role of God's mercy and love in the process of redemption. So we are going to be looking at the connection between grace and redemption specifically today. Starting off, what is the connection between redemption and salvation? Firstly, that part. What is the connection between redemption and salvation?
The connection between redemption and salvation.
Yes, sir.
The connection is in the fact that the Redeemer achieves a rescue operation for a captive. So the captive must be in a situation of, in a dire situation of need,
mm-hmm.
where he is in a big problem. A problem where the captive cannot free himself. He cannot solve that problem. And so he needs somebody to help him out.
Mm.
And because there's a very difficult problem for the captive, the Redeemer must do something to rescue the captive. So salvation comes in because of the fact that as sinners, we were lost.
Mm.
And as sinners, we needed a savior from sin.
Yes.
Because we were in a situation where we could not save ourselves.
Mm.
So it's the Redeemer who saves.
Mm, it indeed.
And for him to be a savior, he has to pay the cost. Mm. That's the redeeming part of it is on the payment of the cost.
So then how does grace facilitate the process of redemption, knowing that how are we supposed to understand grace in the context of redemption?
All right. That's a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
For us to understand grace in the context of redemption, we just need to go to the book of Romans.
Okay.
In Romans chapter 8, from verses 19 to 28, I'll not read, I'll make points.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19 tells us that all humanity is condemned by the law of God.
Mm.
All humanity is condemned by the law of God.
Yes.
Verse 20 tells us that the law is so righteous that humans cannot be righteous by it.
Mm.
Because they are sinners. So because they are so sinful, the only thing the law can do is to show them how sinful they are.
Mm.
But God, in his righteousness, has excluded their works from his righteousness, because their works are evil.
Mm.
They are not part of his righteousness. But he must rescue them from their sins by his righteousness in verse 21. And that righteousness of God is apart from his law.
Mm.
Apart from his law in what way? In the way that he is not required to keep his own law. Because automatically he keeps it, because he is the law himself.
He is the law himself, yes, definitely, definitely.
He himself is the law, he's the righteousness itself, himself. So he is the law itself. So his righteousness doesn't need him to demonstrate by keeping the law.
Uh-huh.
So he has made this available to sinners, his righteousness. Verse 22, 23, he has made his righteousness available to sinners. Because the law has said, all your children have sinned against the law. And God says, yes, they have sinned, but I will pardon their sins because of my righteousness.
Mm.
So the righteousness of God is now satisfying the requirements of the law for the sinner.
Mm.
The law requires the sinner to render righteousness to the law, but the sinner has no righteousness. The sinner has sin only, sinfulness. Mm-hmm. So God is saying the sinner has nothing to give to the law,
mm-hmm.
But I have righteousness that is just as righteous as the law itself.
Right, right.
So I will give my righteousness for the sinfulness of the sinner. That's what is happening in Romans 8, verses 19 to 28. So in verse 24, it says, being justified freely as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So I think verse 24 answers your question, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It definitely does. And it made me think about our conversation yesterday to say that we genuinely do not have a hand in anything to do with grace. We are just receivers. We are truly just receiving. Even the righteousness of Christ is now covering us so that we can be worthy of redemption. Right.
Amen.
How can we better understand the idea of redemption as a pathway towards spiritual transformation and growth? When you are redeemed, how does that translate into transformation and growth?
On that one, I was thinking of giving you Galatians chapter 2, verse 20.
Galatians 2, verse 20.
Mm-hmm. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Those will be the text. Galatians 2, verse 20, I can bring it out of my mind.
Okay.
It says that I am crucified together with Christ. The life that I now live, I do not live by myself, but I live the life that I now live by the Christ who is in me. So the Christ that I died with on the cross to remove my sins from me did not leave me at the cross.
Mm-mm.
He came and resides in me to give me this new life. The new life after the cross is not mine alone now. It's the life of Christ because the Holy Spirit has come in me. So in that way, grace indeed is a pathway to transformation and growth of the believer. This is why the other day, that was the first day, I told you that one of the characteristics of grace is that it has a verifiability and a visibility. Grace is verifiably visible when it is operational in the believer's life.
Yes.
Because the believer's life does not remain the way it was. The believer's life is totally changed. This is why I wanted to come with 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because it makes it very clear. Chapter 5, verse 21.
Okay.
Chapter 5, verse 2, 1 Corinthians. Is it must be second? Sorry. Second Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
No, memory of the aged, you know. It must be 5, verse 21. It reads here, for our sake, he, Jesus, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we might be changed.
Wow.
In verse 19, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So he didn't count our sins when he reconciled himself to us. And now he can't leave us in our sins, because the Savior did not come to save us and leave us sinful. He came to save us so that we are children of God. In actual fact, he himself became a child of God, a child of man, a son of man, so that we could be children of God. We exchanged something here. He comes as a son of man.
Yes.
So that he takes us to God as children of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't take us as filthy people. Dirty people.
Mm-hmm.
He has to wash us up. He has to wash us, to bathe us, to change us, to transform us, to give us a new birth, so that our life is totally different. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that the one who is in Christ is a new creature, is a new person altogether.
Because you cannot be the same after encountering
Christ.
Because
you can't be the same. Why? Mm. Why should the Savior rescue me from captive? Tells you that you have rescued you, and then he leaves you captive. Mm.
Yeah, it wouldn't work that
way. He has to set you free. Mm. He has to set you free. Mm. Yeah.
Does that mean after we have been set free, then in that case, we won't fall again? Does that mean once we've accepted Christ's righteousness to live within us, and we have accepted this grace that we have been given, and we now apply the principles of Christ into our daily living, does that mean we are free from making mistakes again? And then how do we deal with, because accepting grace and then realizing that I am struggling and I'm not perfect makes it difficult to even feel worthy, even if it was given to us because we are unworthy. So how do we deal with that, to be consistent in our walk with Christ and not fall, but if we fall, to stand up and keep walking in Christ?
The major issue for you and I to understand very well is that when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord of my life,
yes,
he puts his grace operational in me,
mm-hmm,
through the working of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Spirit is working with me, he does not change me completely at once.
Mm-mm.
It's a process. It's a process of transformation and growth. Since it is a process, there'll be some issues, some problems, some weaknesses that,
right,
are still in me,
right,
that I'm struggling with.
Mm-mm.
So I meet these issues to the Lord. I will not feel ashamed to go to my God and say, Lord, there is a problem.
Mm.
My problem is this one. It is sticking on me.
Mm.
Help me.
Help me.
Help me.
Mm.
Help me. But at the same time, you also have to know that you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have to cooperate with grace.
Mm.
Because some people don't cooperate with grace.
Ooh, that's interesting. Thank you so much for that. And then what are some practical examples of redemption, either in the context of our religious teachings or in daily life, and how do we recognize these experiences as we walk with Christ daily? How do we recognize the redemption that we experience in the context of the Bible or even in just general daily life?
Yes, that's an important question. In the religious teachings, the issue of redemption has something that we need to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the society of today, even if you go in among the United Nations, leaders of the nations, you discover that some of them are terrorists.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
They pay money to commit murder.
Yes.
And they arm themselves and arm the nations to fight. There is a religious concept that when they die while fighting the wars of God,
yes,
they call them the wars of God, You know, in Christianity, there were crusades. Did you know about the crusades in history? Where Christians from the West, from Europe, were going to the East, to the Middle East.
Yes.
To fight for Jerusalem, to fight for the land of Israel.
Yes.
And they were shedding blood there.
Mm.
Shedding blood there in the name of fighting the wars of God. In the same way, the Middle East also has the same concept. And so I'm trying to say to you that in religion, there is martyrdom for pleasing God.
Yes.
So that their redemption is tied to dying while killing people. You kill people, and then you die while killing people, then you transfer to heaven.
Mm.
Which is a wrong concept.
Very wrong.
Again, in Christianity, the cross of Jesus Christ, because I wanted us to highlight the blood, but maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
Mm.
But the cross of Jesus Christ in Christianity has been de-emphasized.
Mm.
Even if you check in a number of denominations, including ours, you discover that the cross is being de-emphasized.
Mm.
What is being emphasized is behavior.
Mm.
The conduct.
Yeah.
The keeping of the law. Are you doing this correctly? Are you doing this correctly? Are you doing that correctly? Are you doing that correctly? Are you doing this correctly? But the cross, the cross itself, the blood of Jesus Christ, has been diminished in importance.
Mm.
Check the sermons in the churches, sermons that are on the cross, the blood of Christ. You will find that the cross is de-emphasized in churches. And yet redemption is geared on the cross, on the blood of Christ.
I wonder why. I wonder why. I think somebody
was preaching Christ somewhere. They shot him.
Oh no.
With a gun. Why are you preaching Christ? And there are nations around the world where you can't preach Christ, even in Europe. You can't mention Christ in public. You'll be taken to court. Why are you preaching Christ? So I'm simply telling you that the world is developing hatred against Christ. Now, when you come to Christianity in the West,
yes,
they have another thing which they call sacrifice. And that sacrifice is replacing the cross. Do you know that one? They call it Eucharist.
Mm.
Eucharist.
Eucharist.
The communion service. The communion service, they take it as a sacrifice, meaning that Jesus is in that service, in those emblems.
Mm-hmm.
When in actual fact, Jesus is in heaven. So in our daily experiences, how do we show the operation of redemption?
Yes, sir.
Number one, refusing sin.
Mm.
Refusing sin. Number two, loving a sinner.
Mm.
Loving a sinner. Refusing sin and loving a sinner.
It's basically obeying the commandments of God. Yeah.
And probably lifting our eyes to heaven, because in heaven something is happening.
Indeed.
You know what I like most about the radio you are working for? I think it's for Adventists, isn't it? That radio, there is a teaching in that church about the heavenly sanctuary.
Mm.
I'm not ashamed of talking about it, although people are beginning to discredit it. But to me, the heavenly sanctuary is real.
Mm.
It's a real sanctuary, and Jesus is there. We need to lift our eyes up to that sanctuary and understand the connection between the cross and that sanctuary. Because in the earthly sanctuary where Moses, the one which Moses and Solomon built,
yes,
there was a daily shedding of blood, daily, throughout the year, 365 days, 360 for Jews, of shedding blood to prefigure or to forecast the coming of Jesus and the cross, the shedding of his blood on the cross. So in the heavenly sanctuary, the blood issue is so important that angels in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9, 10, 14 there, angels are saying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb.
Yes.
Because he has shed blood. And by shedding of blood, he has purchased the nations for our God. So he has purchased the nations for our God. That's a redemption story, isn't it? It's a redemption song, which the angels are singing in the heavenly sanctuary. So I'm trying to say the sanctuary message should be emphasized because it is connected to the blood on the cross.
Powerful, powerful indeed. So we the time has caught up to us, but I just want to ask one of the last questions. The one that says, how can the grace of redemption provide hope and comfort to people who are struggling with guilt, shame, or regret? How can we find hope in the grace of redemption?
So we can find hope in the fact that our God has committed himself to us, that he will never abandon us, whatever our circumstance. So his grace is sufficient for us in any condition of life. Whether I'm sick, whether I'm sinful, whether something has happened, whatever happens, the grace of God is sufficient for me. So I must go back to him and say, Lord, there is this problem here. Lord, I am feeling emotionally crushed because of ABCD. We must go back to him because he is the high priest and he wants to hear our issues, our problems, our concerns. So it is giving a lot of hope for now and hope for the hereafter.
That is indeed something that we can hold on to. I can't wait to see how this lesson continues to unfold. But I'm learning so much. My understanding of grace is really making me more fond of who Christ is and what he has done for me. And I'm hoping that's the same experience of the listeners. But for today, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much, Pastor Chiwanda.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you. So that was Pastor Chiwanda, and that is the end of our daily focus for today. Grace of redemption.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.